Let's go right in. Welcoming Jesus. Welcoming Jesus. Let's go into Luke chapter 10. Yep. That's fine. That's fine. Yeah. Well, I don't know what she asked. I forgot to check to see who she asked. But if she comes and she needs help, I'll let you know. All right. Luke 10:38-42. I don't want to keep you too long, so just we'll try to do the best we can with the time that we have left. Luke 10:38-34. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha. What was it? To her house. All right? A woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She welcomed him into her house. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Father, for these wonderful historical situations that you have just taught us so many things from them. In a very real sense, all of history is wonderfully inspired because all of history comes from your hand. Everything that happens in history is meaningful. Everything that happens in history can teach us many things. But we are particularly grateful for the selective history that you chose to be part of this canon of Scripture, to be part of the Bible. Because those particular stories have been designed by you in such a wonderful way to communicate tremendous truth concerning the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And so I pray that you give us ears to hear, that you would open up our hearts, that we would understand, Lord, that these things are hidden. Lord, education is not capable of unlocking truth. Grace of God. Understanding, Lord, human understanding, it falls short. We need the grace of God to open our minds to understand the Scriptures. And so I pray, I just simply ask you, Father, that by the power of your Spirit, you would open our hearts and our minds to understand the Scriptures. And that word, that the entrance of your word would bring light and bring understanding to the simple. And so that your name and your word would be magnified today as we go home. And so we simply ask you this, Father. We are totally dependent on the power of your Spirit to make it real to us, that we might understand and that our lives would really bring glory and honor to your name. Thank you so much this morning, we pray. Amen. So last week, Jesus entered a village last week. He entered a village. Jesus entered a village. And we know villages are small towns. They're not big cities. They're small, relatively small population of people. The people know each other. Hey, good morning. How are you doing? In a big city, I lived in New York City for many years. And the thing that got me was that so many people and everybody. I'll never forget especially it affected me when I became a Christian. I would go into the subways, and the subways was like sardines, a can of sardines. You ever seen a can of sardines? It's like you have this little can, and you might have 3,000 sardines in there. It'd be like, take one out. And it's just a can of sardines. And the train would open up. Put the phones away, girls. Thank you. The train would open up, and the can of sardine, and then I became a sardine, and I have to figure out my way into and wiggle myself into the van, into the train, and we're all looking at each other. And I remember I would look at people's faces, because I just became a Christian, and I was just full of love. Love, it was just so overwhelming. So I would look at faces, and I could see the sadness. And nobody said, good morning. That shocked me. I would try, hey, good morning. It's like, you know, and it was just like, don't do it, Emmanuel. And everybody was just by themselves in their little corner, and nobody said, hello, how you doing? Good to see you. And they may have seen each other. Like when I used to take the train, I would see the same people every day. Every day I would see the same people. so I was like, wow. So in a big city, you can get lost and you don't really know nobody. And they used to say that New York was the loneliest city because people would be living next to the door, but no one trusted nobody. But a village is not like that. A village is small population, family. We kind of, hey, how you doing? How's the daughter? Jesus entered the village. And the name of this village is Bethany. And by the way, I want to say something that I want to apologize. Because last week I said, never call your child a Bethany, right? And I didn't, you know, some may have children that call Bethany. And I was like, okay. So I definitely, you know, want to express my sincere apologies for that. It didn't mean, obviously there were sons. Bethany has to be to realize that might be somebody whose name is Bethany. So if you have anyone's Bethany, that's a beautiful name. Yeah. In fact, it's actually interesting. I was actually going to name one of my daughters Bethany. It's interesting. So I found out what it meant. You know, I was like, oh, no. But I actually like the sound of it, you know, Bethany. But so he came to this town called Bethany. And house of affliction, house of sorrow. That's going to be significant. When Jesus comes into a village, he comes with divine favor. Jesus came seeking for Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, her brother. Martha, this family would become very close friends of Jesus. Some people think that this family was actually the closest family to Jesus, that they ministered to him. Isn't that pretty cool? That's, you know, that the Son of God, you know, that would walk through their doors and the Son of God would sit in the couch and the Son of God would eat. I don't know about you, I would be like staring at him the whole time. Wow. The Son of God. Oh, look what he just did. Look what he just did. He just picked up the napkin. Wow. Wow. Come on. He's the Son of God. He commands legions of angels. When he speaks, life comes. I don't know about you. I wouldn't be not playing my video games. As I put that away, and just watch every move he does. Just watch. He took this step. Jesus is fantastic. Magnificent. So he came into their house. He came. They serve the Son of God. Wow. So all stories of redemption begin with God coming. Jesus came. He entered the village. And so this series we've been doing on corporate prayer, we want to learn to pray. We want to learn how to pray to God. But all true prayer begins with God coming. We don't know how to pray. We don't know how to, what are you going to say to God? You're like so small and insignificant, you know, and God is big and but there is access to God. That's the miracle. The miracle is that you and I have access to God through Jesus Christ. And this access to God enables us to pray. So corporate prayer begins with Jesus coming, a visitation from God. If we're going to learn to pray, we have to ask God to come. He must come. He must start. All right? And so if we want to grow in corporate prayer, we got to let go of self-reliance. You're not going to do it on your own strength. You got to ask him. You got to ask him to Lord, teach me how to pray. I cannot rely. I gotta wait on God. All right, so let go of all self-reliance. All right, so today we want to continue to consider what are some necessary things for prayer. And we're gonna learn to pray. And this story of Martha and Mary is gonna be helpful for us to see one more to continue to develop the story. And as we develop the story, what happens? We begin to understand what is necessary. What are some of the conditions that are necessary for corporate prayer. And here's what we're going to learn today, that growth in corporate prayer requires welcoming the kingdom of God into all areas of our lives. Growth in corporate prayer, growth in prayer, whether it be corporate or personal, is going to if you want to grow to how to learn how to pray to God, right? You can pray to God. It's up to you, right? You can learn. If you ask him, he will give you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will teach you how to pray. You know, the problem is we don't ask. We don't want it. But I'm here to tell you, you can have a personal and corporate relationship with Jesus Christ. And a part of that relationship is prayer, praying to God. God doesn't hear all the prayers. There's only one kind of prayer that God hears. It's those that are in Jesus Christ. Does God hear the prayer of the Muslims? No. Does God hear the prayer of the Hindu? No. He doesn't. But those who are in Jesus Christ have access to God. So don't buy the lies of this world that there are many ways to God. No. There's only one way to God. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Jesus Christ said that. So he's either a lunatic or he's a great savior. So there's only one way to come to God in prayer. People say, oh, I'm praying for you. Oh, I'm praying. Everybody knows that. Hey, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying. You know, do they really pray? They probably don't even think about you, but it's just politically correct. It's, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. You know what I'm saying? I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. And these people hate God. Oh, I'm praying for you. Come on, get me a break. But the believer, those who are in Jesus Christ, have a great access to pray. And so we want to look at them. So we want to look at our second observation in the text. Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. Martha welcomed Jesus. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered the village, and a woman named Martha, in the front here. Yeah, look, come on, pay attention, guys. A woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. You see, first of all, Luke introduces us to a woman by the name of Martha, who lived in the village of Bethany. The name Martha is, she probably a lot of people think that she was a kind of mistress. Now, mistress, don't think in the sexual term. That's not what a mistress would mean. A mistress, but a woman who has authority in a household, control. Martha appears to have been the mistress in charge of this house. And the Bible says that that Martha welcomed Jesus. She welcomed him. Now, what does it mean by welcomed him? This is actually a term that is used for hospitality. So she was hospitable. What does it mean to be hospitable? When a visitor comes to your house and you're basically going to help them to feel comfortable. Can I get your jacket? Right, we need to learn to be hospitable to our visitors, right? You know, that when they come in, you take care of their needs. We're kind of losing a little bit of that in our culture where there's just not, everything is so casual. But I do think that we need to preserve some of these things so that we can, you know, really be dignified. They come to the house, say, some people, you know, hey, let me take your shoes, let me take your jacket, let me take this. And the idea is to make a guest feel very comfortable, very welcome. Have you ever been to a house where you can tell you're not very welcomed? And they're like, you know, they want you to hurry up and go home, you know, and leave the house. You ever been in that awkward position? You know, and some people are really good at getting the cues, and some people are not. But let's stop it there before I get into any more trouble. But the idea is that, you know, we want to be hospitable. You know, I'll never forget that happened to me. Somebody came to my front door, and I was, like, surprised. I was like, whoa. and in my panic, I just called Laura. You need to tell her. But anyway, I felt bad. I said, Lord, forgive me. Oh, Lord, forgive me. But help me to be hospitable, Lord. Help me to be hospitable. But, you know, some people, you know, But to be hospitable, to really take care of people that come to your house, that was Martha. And so Luke presents Martha as someone who's hospitable, willing to host someone. Martha ministered to the personal, physical needs of Jesus. Jesus probably physically tired and exhausted from all his travels. Jesus probably hungry and thirsty. They're walking. Martha provided to satisfy all these needs of Jesus in the way that it was proper during that time. It's also implied, and we'll come back to this, it's also implied that she did not only welcome Jesus, but she also welcomed Jesus' disciples, right? And she welcomed her, she welcomed Jesus into her house. The house is a home, a dwelling place. A home is a wonderful thing. It's a person's home represents their most private and personal space. A person protects and guards their home with a lot of jealousy. You know, you don't want anybody coming into your home, or maybe for the kids, you can think of your room. You got my room, and you'd be like, keep out. You have a sign, keep out. You know, and somebody knocks on the door, you open the door with a chain. Yeah, can I help you? Yep. You know, and so you protect your little room, your house, whatever it is, you guard it. Not everyone is welcome into our homes, right? Not everyone's welcome into, right? There's got to be order. There's got to be a sense of who's coming in, who's coming out. I'm not going to let anyone just come into my house and sleep if I've got three daughters in my house, right? I got to think about that, right? Sometimes we have to be wise. Who are we allowing in the house? Martha welcomed Jesus and his disciples into her home. As we look at what is the meaning of all these things, when Jesus comes, he entered a village. When Jesus comes, he comes with divine grace. And that divine grace will free you to love him. Divine grace will free you, liberate you. True divine grace. We got to get rid of this stuff that everybody is saved. No, but when true divine grace comes, it will free you to love Jesus Christ. And we see that in Martha. First of all, you can see that a hint of surprise. When you read Luke, if you read it carefully, there's a sense of surprise. Luke says, as they went on their way, Jesus entered, and a woman, Martha, welcomed them into her house. A woman, there's a hint of surprise. Why? Why is that? Why do you read, and a woman welcomed him into her house? You hear the surprise? And a woman welcomed him into. Now, there is a divine surprise there. We're going to get to that. There's good reasons why Luke is kind of marveling in a surprise kind of way. You know, in other words, this welcoming of Jesus was probably not something that people were doing or expecting. Certainly, there were people who admired Jesus. There were people who were intrigued by Jesus. And there may have been people that even followed Jesus. But to really welcome him into their house, they'll think twice. In fact, in Matthew 8:20, Jesus said, "Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." In other words, it wasn't easy for Jesus to find a home, to find anyone that would really receive him. He walked teaching the people. He walked telling the people about God. And people followed him. And people talked about him. And people heard about him, but at a distance. Coming to my house? Ooh, I don't know about that. I don't know that I want him that close. I'm still exploring him. Hey, well, he needs somebody. How many of you have a house that you can have Jesus You see people going like this, you know. Anybody, the master is looking for a home to lay his head. Is anybody willing to open up their home? And you'd be like, people be like, oh, okay, you know, I mean, let's, well, and, well, no, my house is full. I mean, people made excuses, right? I mean, there was reasons why they were fearful. Look at John 9:22. There were reasons why, as great as Jesus was, but Jesus posed a great risk. To be associated with Jesus was risky. His parents, this is the parents of the blind man, his parents said these things because they feared the Jews. They feared. The Jews were in charge. The Jews, they were the religious leaders. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, anybody, I don't care who you are, I don't care what rank you are, I don't care who's your dad, I don't care. Anybody confesses Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. They were excommunicated. He said, we have nothing to do with you. Now, in Jewish culture, to be excommunicated was a big deal. Today, we're like, whatever. We are so secular that we can't even begin to understand to be put out of the synagogue. But these Jews, that was their whole life. It was meant that you were outside of the covenant promises of God. It meant that you were excluded from all that God's blessings. You were treated like a Gentile dog. That's what it meant to be put out. Gentiles were considered dogs. And so these Jewish families, they found themselves, they're really interested in Jesus. They like the fact that he raises the dead. That's never seen anything like that before. He heals a woman of palsy. But let's not get too close. Suddenly, a woman receives Jesus and welcomes Jesus into her home. It seems like Martha accepted the risk, came forward. Martha was no longer content with, I'm hearing about Jesus. I read a lot of good things about him. They're telling me she wanted to actually get closer to Jesus. And so Luke says that a woman named Martha welcomed him, a woman. Now, understand that a woman in those days was marginalized. Women in those days were marginalized. That's the reality of the Jewish culture. They were not held with the same esteem as men. So I do think that here, what we're seeing here is a wonderful illustration that when Jesus comes, he comes to the marginalized. You might feel marginalized. You may feel you're insignificant. You may feel that your value, your equity in culture and society is small. Maybe you feel insignificant. But all I can tell you is that Jesus comes to your village. Jesus can come in and Jesus will see you. Jesus will call you. Jesus is not going to you based on what society thinks about you. Society may not think much about us. Society may not think much about you. But Jesus is different. Jesus cares about you. Jesus cares that you're marginalized. Jesus cares. Jesus sees that you're an outcast of society. Jesus sees that. And so the wonderful thing about Jesus, he comes to accept the outcast. He resists the proud. So if you think you're it, if you're thinking you're great, if you think he will resist you. But he gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the outcast. And on that wonderful day, Martha received tremendous grace. Tremendous grace. Martha welcomed Jesus. But the reason why we rejoice in the grace of God in Martha's life is because Martha could not have done this without the grace of God. God cannot receive Christ for us. The Bible says very clearly, what? Martha welcomed him. Who welcomed him? Martha. Let me just tell you that in those three words are packed the greatest miracle. Oh, sometimes we read the Bible and we just kind of skip over it sometimes. Martha welcomed him. Impossible! That's not possible. Are you kidding me? That's not possible. He's like, what's the big deal? The pastor really lost it. Is that a big deal? Martha herself welcomed Jesus. Martha welcomed Jesus. That's impossible. Martha made a choice to welcome Jesus. Wow. You see, something greater has just happened. Let me give you, we're gonna finish with this. I'm not gonna do the whole thing today, but I want to just wrap up this little thought and then we'll pray. But let me talk to you a little bit about choices. What controls your choices? Are choices a product of your free will? Let me tell you one thing so you can grab it once and for all. Biggest lie. There is no free will. It's impossible to have a free will. What do I mean by free will? People say, oh, he did it by his own free will. There's no such thing. So let me give you a little bit of what the Bible teaches. Choices. Martha made a choice to welcome Jesus. Martha did it. She exercised her will and said, Jesus, I welcome you into my house. Did she do it out of free will? No, impossible. Why are choices, you don't have freedom of choice. You don't have it. See, a free will means that your will is under no constraint, and that is impossible. Not even God has a free will. Our will and our choices are controlled by our desires. Is that clear? What we choose is a byproduct of what we desire. Right? What we desire. And then you make choices. God is not free to choose anything that is contrary to what he desires. And you are not free to choose something that is contrary to your desires ultimately. All of our choices are governed by our desires. But then the question is, what determines our desire? Right? So my choice comes from my desire. But then what controls my desire? Our desires are controlled and determined by my nature, who I am as a human being. Why does a bee love flowers? Because it's a bee. It's in its nature. Right? If you give, what would a cow prefer? Grass or ice cream? What does a cow prefer? Grass or the greatest ice cream of all time? Grass. The cow would look at the ice cream, but you give it grass, it's excited. Why does a cow prefer grass? Because it's a cow. Right? Our desires are determined by who you are, your nature. Desires are the expression of our nature. That's good news and that's bad news. Your nature always determines what we desire. Your nature will dictate the kinds of choices you make. So if a person wants to change their choices or their behavior, what's necessary? If you want to change your choices or the behavior, what is necessary? Do you change your choices? How do you change your choices? You got to change your desires. How do you change your desires? You got to change the nature. Very simple. Very, very simple. That makes what Martha did impossible. Look at Romans 3:12. Romans 3:12. This is what Martha welcomed Jesus. Impossible. That can't happen. All, how many? Have what? Turned aside, away from God. All have turned what? Aside. Together, they have become what? Worthless. They have become. That means we are worthless. Not just that we do worthless things, but we are in our nature. We have become worthless. This is God speaking, by the way. This is God's. We have all turned aside. Altogether, we have become utterly worthless before God. No one does good. No one. How many? How many? No one. Not even one. Okay, let me ask you something. When Martha welcomed Jesus into her home, did she do something good? Yes. No one does good except Martha. Except Martha? All have turned aside. So how do we explain what Martha did? Martha's just like you and me. Martha's not better than me, and I'm not better than Martha. Martha's part of humanity. Martha's part of that all, right? Martha, no one, God says, not even one person in the whole world, not one person, that includes you, that includes me, that includes Martha. No one has ever done anything good that God says, whoa, look at this one. God never, that has never happened in the history of humanity, except for Jesus Christ. So what happened? How, we have to take the Bible for what it is. All have sinned. All of us have sinned. All of us have come short of the glory of God. All of us have failed. All of us have an F in our spiritual report card. God says, you failed. But we have a problem, right? Don't we have a problem? We do have a problem. But then Jesus came. He entered the village. you have to understand that. Without Jesus entering the village, Martha would have never welcomed Jesus. Right? Martha would have never been awakened to the beauty, to the magnificence, to the glory of Jesus Christ. Jesus entered the village. She saw something, but she saw something because the grace of God came. Amen? Grace of God opens. It opens her eyes to see the beauty of Jesus Christ. Amen? So when Luke says, and a woman named Martha welcomed him, you should stop and praise God. Amen? Because in those three words is hope for human, for mankind. There is hope for you and for me that we can, by the grace of God, welcome Jesus out of our own willingness. Martha was not forced to welcome Jesus, I feel forced, but I'll do it anyway. No, she wasn't forced. She willingly opened her home and welcomed Jesus. She did it because she wanted to. What a miracle. That's the miracle of grace. Wherever you wonder, like, why do some people go to church and serve God? And why do some people don't want to go to church and don't want to serve God? There's only one answer to that. And what's the answer? The grace of God. The only reason I'm here today and preaching to you is only one reason. What is it? The grace. I received something of the grace of God. over 30 years ago. That's it. The only reason you are sitting down in this chair, there's only one reason, and that is what? The grace of God. If it were not for the grace of God, we would be still turned aside. We would still be worthless. We're no longer worthless, right? Amen? We're no longer worthless. Why are we no longer worthless? Because of the grace of God. Amen? Amen? We're going to need to celebrate. Martha welcomed him. We should rejoice. Because that gives us hope that we can. Some of you might be wondering, will I ever really love Jesus the way I really want to? Let's be honest. Some of us say, you know, I really want to love Jesus, but man, my heart's just not there. What is keeping me from loving Jesus? There's so many that walk, come to church and say, you know what? What is that keeping me? Only the Lord knows the answers and the reasons why. But here's what I want you to hope, and that is the grace of God. The grace of God can change your heart. The grace of God can come in. The Bible says in Ezekiel that God would give us, take away our stony heart. God was going to take it away and give us a heart of flesh. He would give us a new heart. A new heart means new desires. And you don't have to fight. I got to really pray. I got to fast. I got to do all these things. Those things come afterwards. You know, what you first need is the grace of God to give you the power that you need to welcome Jesus into every area of your life. And Martha's an example of the grace of God. She welcomed. She went from Romans 3:12, all have turned aside, to Luke 10:38, she welcomed him. Do you see that? Right? Romans 3:12 to Luke 10:38. She made the transition from all have turned aside, all have rejected, we become worthless, to she welcomed Jesus. Have you made that transition? Have you made that transition from like worthless to welcoming Jesus? The grace of God is available. Jesus Christ has come. He's poured out his grace. You don't have to live as an enemy of God. You don't have to live separated from God anymore. You can come now by the grace of God and say, oh God, please have mercy on me. I need your grace. I want to be a different person. I want to love you with all my heart. I want to love your people. I want to love your kingdom. God can do the miracle. Amen? So many believers, so many Christians live around with real with sadness because they always feel they fall short, and we do fall short. But rather than mourning over, oh, look who, what where I'm at, put your hope in Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, you did it for Martha. You could do it for me too. There was nothing special about Martha. Absolutely nothing special about Martha. But Jesus Christ has come. And if you're here this morning, I believe with all my heart that God's grace is towards you. Powerfully. Every one of us. Because if it wasn't, you would not be here this morning. There are billions of people that you will give them $1,000 and they'll be like, no, I'm not wasting my time. I hate that place. I don't want nothing to do with that. And the fact that you're here on your own, praise God. What a wonderful sign that is. You are not here by accident. You're here because God is drawing you. God is pouring his grace, and you're not even aware of it. Amen? But I want you to be awakened to God's goodness. I want you to be awakened. It's time that we lay aside and say, you know, Lord, I am no good, but you are good. Amen? You are good. None of us are good. Get rid of that. Don't try to get brownie points with God. You're not going to get brownie points. It'll be brown, but it won't be brownie. we have to let go of all that. But the Bible says all of our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. The best that you can do is offer filthy rags to God. But when we just simply say, oh, Jesus, you know, is this too good to be true? Are you saying, Jesus, you can change my heart? You can make me a different person by simply trusting in you? And Jesus telling you today, yes. Isn't that beautiful? Amen? Amen. Praise God. Next week, we're going to really see divine grace at work, because she not only welcomed Jesus, she welcomed Jesus into her home. Ooh. Now, that's That's a whole different ballgame. We'll pick up next week. Into her home. Some of us, we welcome Jesus, but not into my home. It's like, you know, some of us welcome Jesus, but want nothing. The disciples, you stay out there. I've got some cabins out there, but Jesus, you can come in. And you and I are going to sup and dine, and the disciples are outside, you know, in the cold, shivering. See, she's going to open her. This is what true grace, this is true grace. This is the magnificence of grace. And this doesn't happen in one moment. This happens gradually. Your heart begins to overcome by Jesus Christ. And at first you accept Jesus, and then little by little, you say, hey, open the door. Hey, disciples, come into my house. And the disciples of Jesus come in. So we're going to talk about that next week. Welcoming Jesus into your home. And I could paraphrase, welcoming Jesus and his disciples into your home. But let's stand. Let's stand, and we'll pick up next week. We'll pick up next week and continue. But I want to encourage you today. Abby, when you come up, Anthony, if you can go to the back. Thank you for just your patience today with the delayed opening. But don't want to hold you any further. Jesus Christ has come, and his grace is available to us. Amen.